Good morning and welcome to this gathering here at Fellowship Raleigh. My name is Jonathan Reyes and I serve here as the associate pastor. I'll be the one sharing God's word with you this morning. And it's a privilege just to share God's word. It's a joy to be called and it's a joy just to be with you guys this morning. I hope that you're enjoying this Labor Day this weekend. I know that it's a beautiful weekend. It's set to have a lot of pretty skies. It's not going to be so hot. But I just want to invite you to open up God's word in this moment. And we're going to go to the gospel according to Matthew. We're going to be focusing on chapter 6, verse 11 this morning. And if you don't know, we've been doing a study on Matthew chapter 6 on Jesus' teaching on prayer. The series is called Pray Like Jesus. So we're going to be just focusing on verse 11 this morning. So I'm going to read from verses 9 to 11, since we'll be focusing on verse 11 this morning, just to give some context. And it says it in this way. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Father, in this moment, I just want to thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the good weather. Thank you, Lord, for preserving my life. Thank you for keeping me safe. And thank you, Lord, for saving me from darkness and to bringing me into a right relationship with you. I just pray in this moment, Father, that you would empower me to communicate your word in a clear way. I pray that it would be both driven with compassion and conviction. I pray, Father, that you would speak through me. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would prepare every heart and every ear to understand your word. I pray, Father, that you would soften our hearts to receive your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would nourish us with your word, that you would sanctify us with your word, because your word says, sanctify us in your truth, because your word is truth. So I just pray, Lord, that the words would land on fertile ground. So I pray, Lord, that the meditations of my heart and of my mind and the words of my mouth would be acceptable in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever encountered an infant or a child who didn't depend on their parents or guardian for their needs? I don't know about you, but I've never seen that happen. And maybe it's because infants and children, they don't have the emotional, physical, or intellectual capacity to provide for their own needs. When we come into this world, we come in as dependent beings. And it is in the same way that a child depends on their parents for all of their needs that a Christian should depend on God for their daily needs. Dr. Al Mohler says it like this. God has designed human beings to be dependent. From the moment of birth, we rely on the kindness of others to meet our needs. We need our parents to feed us, to dress us, and even train us to sleep. Even as we grow older, we remain tremendously needy. We depend on others for relationships. We need communities in which we live and work. We depend on the government for safety and security. In other words, there is no such thing as a self-made man. We have no sufficiency in and of ourselves, and we delude ourselves by believing we can be truly independent of others. And it is this dependency that reminds us of our need of God. It should remind us that we're not self-sufficient. And again, as a child is dependent on their parents to provide for their everyday needs, us Christians are to be dependent on God for all of our needs. And the big idea I just want us to see in this part of the Lord's Prayer is, since God is our Father, if God is our Father, then we can trust Him for all of our needs. Now, to give us some context, we've been studying Matthew chapter 6 on Jesus' teaching on prayer. The series has been titled Pray Like Jesus. And in our first week, we learned the right approach to prayer. We learn that we should not be like the pagans who use elaborate fancy speech in their prayer, but that when we pray, that we should go into our secret place, into a place of intimacy where there's no distractions, where we can be ourselves and pour out ourselves before God. After that, we learned about a new way of prayer, that we should not only honor God as holy, not only address Him as the Most High or the Almighty, but that we can call Him and address Him Father. After that, we learned to desire His kingdom and what that kingdom looks like. And last week, we studied on His will being done, and that we should pray for God's moral will to be joyfully obeyed and to be championed in this world. Now, the first aspects of the Lord's Prayer, they deal totally with God. It deals with Him as our Father. It deals with Him being holy, with Him being sovereign, with Him being the King of all kings. And here, we see that Jesus now shifts to us. And Jesus here reminds us that because God is our Heavenly Father, we can then trust Him for our daily provision. Which leads me to my first point. We can trust God for all of our physical needs. The verse says, "Give us today our daily bread." Jesus, plainly, just putting it out there, is teaching that we must rely on God for our daily provision. The word daily is just a fresh reminder that prayer is just not a one-time thing, that it's a constant routine that we're to do every day. And then when we do this, when we approach God in prayer, it's a reminder that we are dependent on His grace, and we're also dependent on His provision. Now, it should be obvious that here, this prayer is not just only for bread. The reason that Jesus uses bread is because food is a universal human need. We all need food for our physical well-being. So since it just because this prayer just isn't about food, it just isn't about your hunger, Jesus is teaching us that everything we need to be sustained physically in this world, we can ask God to provide it. This verse in the Lord's Prayer also teaches us that prayer should be the very first thing we should be every morning. As I'm saying this, I'm convicted because many times the very first thing I do in the morning is I grab my phone, I shut off my alarm, I check some emails, check my notifications, and prayer comes afterwards. But Jesus is teaching us that if we are to pray, it should be the very first thing because we should ask God to provide for everything we need. And the reason we can confidently come before God in prayer, it's because God is our Father. Jesus reiterated this in Matthew chapter 7, stating about God's fatherly care for our physical well-being by saying this: "Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" And since God is our Heavenly Father, and since God is sovereign, and He owns everything, we can trust Him to provide for all of our needs. It is the same reason why David can pray in Psalm 37:25 and say, "I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I have not seen the righteous abandoned, and I've never seen his children begging for bread." God is a faithful Father who takes care of his children. We see this clearly in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 16. We see that right after God delivers the Israelites from the power of Egypt, that he demonstrates his faithfulness to his people for providing for all of their needs. Now, these Israelites were supposed to go on a 40-day journey, but ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness. During those 40 years, God provided manna from heaven, some type of bread. And it's written that God did this to test them. He gave them specific instructions to see if they would trust him. And some followed, some obeyed, but there were others who, instead of trusting God and obeying the clear commandments, they began to take more. They began to hoard because they believed that God may not come through tomorrow. And just like them, many times when they were complaining and many times when they were grumbling, and you and I can be the same way, God still cared for them. He still provided for them. And the miraculous thing was is that for 40 years, not only did he provide food, the scriptures teaches us that their clothing and their shoes did not wear out. Just imagine you're coming out of Egypt as a child and you're spending 40 years in the wilderness before you inherit the promised land, and your shoes, the bottom of your shoes are still intact. If we can be honest, how many times has God showed up to us and provided during times when we have not been faithful? When we have been disobedient, when we have been rebelling, and God shows up and says, I love you. And in spite of you, I'm still going to provide for you. And it's because God's love and his care for you is not dependent on your performance. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I just want to remind you that you can rest in his grace. And because you can rest in his grace, you can trust that God will care for you. And and he does this because he gloriously adopted you into his family through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how do we know that we're trusting God for our provision? A good way to measure this is through our generosity. There is a temptation to not be generous, specifically in the time that we're in, during a time of civil unrest, during a time of a national pandemic, where the economy has down under and we are in an economic recession, to not be generous. Some of us are scared to give money because we think that if we hold on to it, it would be better. It's as if we're not trusting God, that we're not believing that God is not faithful to his promise and that he will not provide, that he will not come through tomorrow. And it is in those moments that we're acting just like those Israelites who wanted to take more manna than God had instructed to them. So let's just be a people who demonstrate our trust and our faith in God through our generosity. And it's because when God provides for you, he's doing this so that you can be a blessing to others. Now this begs the question, what is our real needs? What are some physical needs? The reason I say that is because many times we confuse our wants with our needs. We hear people say, I need that new iPhone. I need that new video game. I need that new car. I need the latest and greatest new technological movie. I need to go to the movie theaters to see Tenet. I need to do some of these things. So it's just helpful to understand what are the things that God will provide. So here are just some basic things that every human needs. Number one, the obvious, food. God designed your body for food. Food provides energy for activity, for growth, for other bodily functions such as breathing, digesting food, for keeping warm. It provides materials for growth and repair of the body, and it's also a way that your immune system stays healthy. Another need is water. God designed your body to need water. Your body uses water in all of its cells. It needs it for your organs and your tissues, to help regulate temperature within the other bodily functions. And because your body loses water through breathing, through sweating, and through digestion, it's important that we rehydrate ourselves by drinking water and eating foods that contain water. Another one, and this is the last one, is clothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, Paul tells us that if we have food and clothing, we should be content. And the context of that letter to Timothy is that to not be a lover of money. But if we have the basic necessities in life, we'll be good. And Jesus taught this very same thing in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, where he just, and to summarize it, that if you seek first his kingdom, to not worry about the things you need, to not worry about the clothes that you wear, because if God clothes the lilies and the flowers in the field, how much more will he not clothe his children? So those are just some real basic necessities that we as humans need. And because God is our Father, he uses those physical things to also point us to spiritual realities. And this leads me to my second point, that we can trust God for our spiritual needs. Now, when we view ourselves, we should not view ourselves as a physical body with a spirit. Rather, we are spiritual beings with a body. Now listen, I'm not saying that the body is a bad thing. The body is a good thing. It's a gift from God, and it's a thing that God will redeem. But we are spiritual beings because we are made in the image of God. And the scriptures teach us that God is a spirit. So since the verse says, "Give us today our daily bread," it means that we can also pray, that we can trust God to provide for our spiritual needs as well. Those physical realities point to spiritual ones. And just as food is needed to nourish our bodies, God's word is needed to nourish our souls. Jesus, while being in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where he says that man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. This means every morning when you rise, or before you come to church, or before you open up the scriptures, you can pray, God, nourish me. Nourish me with your word, because I need your word. My spirit needs your word. I need encouragement from your word. I remember early on in my walk, I had a pornography addiction, and I had some brothers who walked with me through this. And I remember one specific day that I was struggling bad. My mind was just being flooded with a bunch of lustful thoughts, with a bunch of old memories. And I just prayed a sincere prayer, like, God, help me. God, can you just provide an escape? Your word tells me that when I'm tempted, that you will provide a way of escape. And as I prayed that prayer, my phone rang. And it was a good friend of mine, Hector, who called me. And it was just at the right moment. And when I picked up, he was like, hey, man, what you up to? I just felt led to check up on you, to see how you're doing. And it was in that moment that I started to weep, because God just proved his faithfulness. It was in that moment that I had a spiritual need. I was under attack, and I needed a way of escape, and God provided. So what are some spiritual needs that we can pray for and trust that God will provide? Just want to lay out four that we can trust that God will provide for our lives. Number one, we can trust God to provide wisdom to make wise decisions. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly or without reproach, and it will be given to him." We can trust God to provide wisdom that we can make Christ-like decisions. Number two, we can trust God to provide peace that overcomes anxiety. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And when we do that, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus." When we are anxious, when we are stressed, we can trust that God will provide peace in that moment. I remember a few months ago, back up in Joliet in Chicago, near the Chicagoland area. My wife and I just moved into this new townhouse, and because the townhouse was way bigger than our old house, we went and bought a futon because we want just another space in case family or friends want to stay over, we can host them. And when you buy a brand new futon, it just doesn't come ready. It comes with an instruction manual, and we got to put it together. And I remember inviting my friend Eddie to just come and help me. And as we're putting it together, it comes to a point that we are at a standstill. And we figured out we did something wrong, and we don't know what was going on. And I just began to get stressed. I began to get frustrated. I began to get irritated. And listen, I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor here. Eddie's the guy that I'm leading, and he's the one that says, hey, why don't we just stop and pray? And he just begins a little prayer saying, hey, God, your word says that that if we need wisdom, that you can provide wisdom. And right now we're stressed and we're anxious, so we just invite your peace to give us a clear mind so that we can do this. We need your help in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple as that. And within 2 minutes, we look, and then we realize that one of the parts that we put together was upside down. And it was just a small testament that God is there to answer our spiritual needs as well. When we're anxious, when we're stressed, when our lives are filled with worry, we can trust God to provide a supernatural peace that will still the chaos in our lives and even provide simple direction in the time of need. The third one is we can trust God to provide an escape from temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, verse 13 says, no temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. Because God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. I just shared earlier the way that I was struggling, and I prayed a simple prayer. And I just summarize it with this, that we can trust God to provide an escape from temptation. And the last one, the fourth one, we can trust God to give freedom from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, one of love, and one of sound judgment. 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. Since God is our Father, we can trust that he would free us from fear. So whatever you are afraid of, so whenever you are fearful, I encourage you to memorize these two passages of Scripture and just pray them. Memorize them and pray them, and God will free you. You will have supernatural faith to believe in the God who says who he says he is. So we've seen that because God is our Father, we can trust him to provide for our physical needs and our spiritual needs. But I want to conclude with my third and last point. God has provided our greatest need. The reason why we can trust God for our physical and spiritual needs is because in Jesus, God has provided the greatest need, and that's the salvation of our soul. Because apart from Jesus, without Jesus, we are spiritually in debt. We owe a debt that we cannot repay, and in Jesus, God bankrupted heaven. He bankrupted heaven by sending Jesus to live the life that we cannot live, by dying the death that we deserved. He provided a way for us in Jesus to be in a right relationship with him, and through Jesus, we have salvation. And we have these promises like physical and spiritual provision. And since the physical is always meant to point to the spiritual, Jesus in John chapter 6 uses Exodus 16, which we talked about earlier, to teach the Israelites how God provided for his people in the wilderness. That it was simply a symbol that was pointing to him. Jesus declares in John chapter 6, verses 32 to 35. He says, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus responded, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. So if you are in Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, you can wholeheartedly believe these things. You can trust that God will provide for your physical and spiritual needs. Why? Because he demonstrated his faithfulness to you at the cross. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus personally, I want to invite you to receive him, to surrender your life to him. Because these promises can only be claimed by his children. And contrary to popular belief, not everyone is a child of God. We are all a creation of God. But the Bible teaches us in John 1:12 that to those who received him, he has given them the right, he has given them the privilege to be called children of God. So receive him today. If he's calling you, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Receive him today and experience the eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, the provision that is needed for the whole of life, not just the physical, but also the spiritual. So, if God is your Father, you can then trust him for all of your needs. Let's pray. Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just being a good father who takes care of his children. Thank you, Lord, for bankrupting heaven so that we can have a right relationship with you. Thank you for providing the air that we breathe, the clothing that we wear, the food that we eat, the many things that we take for granted in life. I pray, Father, in this moment, Lord, that you would use this teaching to bring the lost to yourself, to motivate followers of Jesus to trust you more, to pray more. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we are doing that, that our faith, our trust in you, Father, would just radiate through us, and it would cause us to have spiritual conversations with people who wonder, why is it that we can trust God in the middle of a pandemic? How we can trust God and be generous during a time of a recession? Father, I pray that you would glorify yourself through this teaching, and I pray that you would build your church through it. I pray this in Jesus' name.